Peter Volandi's joining us. I think he might have a smile on his face too.
Well, if you can see it amongst the beard that he's got growing at the moment.
Peter Volandi,
the CEO of Racing New South Wales. Pete, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Andrew, Sean.
Pete, this is great news. Update our listeners, please, on the Everest.
Well, all slots have now been taken, which is great news for Sydney. Sydney now has a $10 million race at Randwick. We've done a lot of things here at Racing New South Wales, but this really excites me because I think it's an event that Sydney will never, have had in the past. And to have the world's richest race on turf in Sydney is a great coup for Sydney.
Peter, that's 12 slots that have been sold. We've heard of a few of them along the road. We even had Rupert Leon this morning on HQ saying that one of the owners of Chautauqua had bought a slot. He didn't want to sell it to any outside party, so all the owners have decided we'll come in with you and we'll be in that slot with you. So it's certainly gained a great deal of interest.
Oh, absolutely. Look, we have been inundated and overwhelmed by the interest it's shown. It's a unique concept. It'll generate just as much publicity before the race with all the transactions that will take place with people doing deals with horses, with owners, selling slots. You know, there's also a lot of interest now in the secondary market where people can go in and sell their slots. So, you're going to hear a lot about the Everest and it adds another dimension now to the TJ Smith on Saturday. You know, it's already one of the great races in the world calendar for sprinters, and now there'll be 12 slot holders looking at all the races. They're looking at the race to see either their competition or who they can do a deal with. And I should also pay particular credit to Laurie Macri and Darren Pearce at the ATC. It's been a partnership. And my staff here, Scott Kennedy and Graham Hinton, it's been a magnificent team effort because we've done it in a very short time. And without that team effort, I don't think we would have achieved the 12 slots.
Peter, you've sold these. Realistically, though, if you'd had more to sell, what do you think you could have sold?
I think we would have sold a lot more, Sean. I don't doubt that at all. I mean, and as people start to understand the concept, and what we did is we only really approached the people that approached us in the main. And once you explain it to them, they get very excited. I was at a wedding on Saturday up at Scone, and I was just talking to some investors, and they all love the idea. They all love the concept. They love the uniqueness of it. And they wanted to invest. You know, unfortunately, their time's run out because they're all gone. But, definitely if we went out on the road, I think you would have sold a lot more. But 12's enough. We're not going to go higher than 12. You know, we've got 12 people that have taken the risk with us, so we're going to really look after them now.
The beauty of it is everyone dreams of having a horse to run in a $10 or $12 million race but doesn't have the horse. This way, you can.
Absolutely. Look, you can go to a sale and buy $1 million yearling and might never get to a racetrack. Here, you're guaranteed to have a horse in a $10 million race each year. I'd love to be a slot holder and take my mates to the track and say, come on, boys, you're going to watch me try to win 10 mil.
Mm. So tell us what happens now. I mean, the 12 slots have been sold, but as you mentioned there, the wheeling and dealing can continue with those 12 slots.
Absolutely. As I've said from the outset, you do not need to own a horse to purchase a slot, because now these slot holders will go and do deals with people that own horses. That's why it was a fallacy that, it wasn't for battlers. This is the best thing to happen to battlers, because all of a sudden battlers can be racing for, life-changing prize money for them. Because, well, here's an example, the Derby Syndicate with the Golden Slipper winner. They've done a deal with a major Chinese investor to share the prize money. All of a sudden, they're going in a $10 million race. You know, these are 19 people that you wouldn't regard as wealthy owners. They're, probably more regarded as battlers. And here they are going from the Golden Slipper to a $10 million race. I mean, so it really is designed for the battler. So, the slot owners will, as I said, will be really looking at the TJ Smith, because if they haven't got a horse at the moment, that's the first place I'd be looking at to do a deal with one of the runners.
Peter, simplifying it, basically you're leasing a horse for a day for one race, aren't you?
That's probably the best way to summarise it, Sean. Exactly right. You're leasing a horse for a day and you do a deal on how you share the prize money.
And as it gets down to the tail end of it, you do the whack up there and say, we'll take whatever, you get whatever, draw it up legally, it's a binding document.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly right. And there's two deals done already. So, and there's a third one that'll be announced this morning on one of the slot holders who else has done a deal with a very good filly.
Yes, I'm waiting. Well, I'm thinking of one filly up north. I'm not too sure whether it's the one that you're thinking about, but I know...
That is one and the same, so I won't take exclusivity away from you. Dan.
Would there be hoots up there to get on it?
Yeah, no, I've been bound by secrecy there, yeah, but I reckon there's a filly. But anyway, Peter, it's fantastic. Well done to everybody. The 12 slots have been sold, and we'll wait and see for the wheeling and dealing that goes on, Sean.
Peter, given that this has been such a success, is there a little thought lurking at the back of your mind how you might look at one over a middle distance?
Yeah, well, look, we're thinking about the Mount Kosciuszko. I mean, that's the next one.
I was waiting for you to name one after me.
We climb the Everest, and we'll do a smaller mountain this time next time.
Well, I'm just glad with this interview. The last interview that we did with Peter two Saturdays ago got plenty of media coverage because young Maddie came into the room and she wanted Dad's attention and she made a hella... You're glad you're just in the office today, aren't you?
That was the reason I took the interview. There was no Maddie here. But the thing that concerned me, Andrew, is people said she made more sense than I did. So that was the problem I've got.
No, she was up and about on that morning. But well done, Pete. We'll hear more about it over the... upcoming weeks, and good luck Saturday.
And thanks for your support, Andrew. It's very much appreciated, and same to you, Sean.
Good on you. Thanks, Peter.